Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
would. Very happy to join you. See every friend in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with us. In the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clip. Face and get some of this here shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold to the seas, we talking about the past the clubs. Like at the party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the seas. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They're gonna shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us. Close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a bitch, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect in pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, now wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never have it. Never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swore to God I'd stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude.
Wish I can open up some gates up to my dog. Yeah, I'm still yelling to no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. Yeah, you know one day we gon' fall.
All they wanna do is see us fall. All my niggas ride fully loaded, 10 toes for me in the heat of war. Money, baby, you my Mia Mo. Free my niggas and free some more. Fuck the judge with a sick dick, but a nigga hate 12 even more. Evil souls, nowadays gotta keep it close. That's all my life, we're full of wrong, just hard to do right. Until I get on, you know I'ma grind. Yeah, put a little nigga on ice. Yeah, do you remember them nights? Yeah, nigga was hustling and starving, trap out apartment, pumping that pack, I was starving.
Open up some gates, and see my dog.
My dog.
Yeah, my dog. I'm still yelling for your mom. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard.
Free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free my dogs, free them dogs, freedom dogs, freedom dogs, freedom all, free them all, free my dogs, free them all, 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 just whiff. Come through like we own it, yeah nigga, we own it. What's that?
What's that?
You don't want smoke, bitch. Free my niggas too, it's totin'. Free my niggas too, lost focus. Real niggas won't focus. Real niggas, they know this. With the pig to a wolf, with the rat to a wolf, that's a real small snack. Yeah, niggas know that. Once you cross that line, he'll gnaw on
those. Wish I could open up some gates and free my dogs. I'm free, yeah, let's do no more. I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. You know one day we gon' fall.
Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free my dogs. Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free them dogs. Free them dogs, free them dogs. Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free my dogs. Free them all, free them all.
I wish I could open up the gates and free them all. My niggas, they was running from the dicks, but they got caught. The place that we involved, we was raised to be some dogs. Bullet holes in the walls, niggas never had a cause. They thought it was because everybody in the gang, and you ain't cool till you catch a body. Living in the hood, remember good times. Smoking on the black, spin good rhymes.
Wish I could open up some gates and free my dogs. My dogs, I'm still here to free them all. My dogs, I know a couple real ones stranded on their yard. No they dogs, you know one day we gon' find.
Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free my dogs. Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free them dogs. Free them dogs, free them dogs. Free them all, free them all. Free my dogs, free my dogs, free them all, free them all, free them all.
We about to make some motherfucking music in this house. For the benefit of those who just might not happen to know, who ain't seen this shit, let's know and even read about it. And that's been a whole bunch of talk. And believe you me, if need be, it's gonna be a whole lot more motherfucking action when it comes down to this here business about saving the home of the deputy chairman of the Black Panthers, Fred Hampton.
I'm a deputy chairman. I'm a deputy chairman. I'm a deputy chairman of the state of Illinois. Testified by Fred Hampton.
All this point oinking and talking about banks taking the state auctions and foreclosures. As a matter of fact, you best to come with a whole lot more. The hard hat for those. Now dig. See, they got me. Now scratch that. They got us all fucked up. As a matter of fact, might as well bring the badges, bandages, nine dime packets, handcuffs, and prison buses. You see, we talking about the same home. And when Dagger Hoover directed the federal government to tap the telephone of this bad young motherfucker when he was merely 14 years old. Now, you walking in the same place in which you left him one block away. The same state government had a man named Nelson Stewart. Driving a good new ice cream truck, framed the same dead man that known to be a chairman, Fred. In which they hit him up, handcuffed him, and gave him a truck to fast case on July the 10th, 1968. Across the street, he went to grammar school, down the street, high school. In fact, it was the chairman, before he even came to chairman, that checked these racist-ass motherfuckers in Maywood about blacks not being able to swim in the same motherfucking swimming pool. Now, mind you, as soon as they chopped the chairman down, in fact, the very next day, after the 1969 until the fourth grade, they came through Maywood and every other hood, saying and stating that there'd never be another Fred Hampton to take his place. And in addition, if another nigga dare thank you, you might as well get in the goddamn grave.
I'm a different chairman. I'm a different chairman. I'm a different chairman of the state of Illinois.
Now here we are. Can you
Jacobs. 50 years later, fighting to save and maintain a home of the legacy of one of the baddest motherfucking greatest. Now, that same said government that I made mention of merely minutes ago is still coming at the legacy chairman Fred as they did 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. If not more. As in the days of old when Rome politically salted the earth like the British did the Chinese in the mid-19th century in the Opium War. These same murdered, marauding motherfuckers have an artistic to turn the House of the Hamptons to the House of Dope. Yeah, like Rudy Giuliani implemented Nicky Barnes in New York. They, the state, armed and equipped former family members and a bunch of more reactionary ass niggas. And at all places, placed their puppet ass right up on the first floor, and as well as down below. Right up 17th and Madison. Yeah, y'all know where it's at, 804. Nah. They got us bogged down with outdated water bills, mortgages, predatory loans, and a whole bunch of more action. Nah, we ain't crying the blues, because that ain't the type of music that's playing. But we are letting y'all know what's happening. We standing here planning. We ain't on no vacation. We at the Hamptons. We don't need no motherfucking Martha Stewart. Determine the destiny to save this house. Whose house?
You could come with us to see the Wiz. He's gonna get me back home, and he's gonna get the Scarecrow some brains. Maybe he can get you a heart.
But that's the whole tragic point, my friend. What would I do if I could suddenly feel and to know once again what I feel is real? I could cry. I could smile. I lay back for a while. Tell me what would I do if I could feel?
No, I've been holding back on this one, dude. I bit my tongue so much I got blood in my mouth. Now with all due respect, let me get this here from my chest. No, real talk. Now some say that this shit has been a long time coming. And then some say that I'm just wasting my valuable time responding to no one and nothing. For even your goofball groupies was able to see your feeble-ass attempts at seeking your fame at the expense of slandering our name. Day after day, while you engaged and did the state's thing and defamed our name. Even the pigs started putting out information about how much you got paid. But like a panther in the jungle, I just sat black and said nothing. The arrogance, the audacity, the atrocity. For an actual advocate of the administration to dare make mention of our men and women as minions. When it's actually you, it has been you, that has been utilized as a tool of the system. You see, I see a lot of cats can't get past the fact that simply because you be draped in dreadlocks and arcs doesn't count such a contradiction that you're catering and coming it up for the cops. Initially, a lot of cats couldn't distinguish if these hits were simply nonsense or strategically state set. For some, this shit just an add up. Some even wonder, why this motherfucker even coming at the club? And then showing up, as the old saying goes, we don't come out in the wash, we definitely come out in the rinse. Nah, they say you got issues, okay, so that be the case. Then why is it with white men she grins, with black men she berates? No love for the people, but got plenty much for the state. You know the quote, you heard the verse, and what this state is plain as day, you can't serve two masters. Now with that being said, one has to wonder, are there just some underlying issues or is she taking one for the team? One minute repping and rapping and claiming and lay it down for the streets, then the next motherfucking minute going on attack mode on the movement for the machine. A contradiction of terms. You see, you've been compromised, then come back and claim the streets. Man, the mayor's your chief and all of them are your elites. And City Hall, when there's white folks around, she seems to be thinking silence of the lambs. Then in black folks' events, he seems to pull her shit and think it's time to go ham. You see, See, I don't know who damaged your luggage, but I definitely didn't check your baggage. Whatever hidden agenda and issues you got, you can stop and go see them or see him. Good plan, wrong man. For you may have went to the right campsite, but you knocking on the door of the wrong motherfucking log cabin. We talking and walking. We say it and put it in place. And we got love for the brothers. How we don't break bread with broken black men who see fit to do the system's business. And let the record reflect that we ain't possessed nothing but love and respect for the sisters. However, in the same breath, let it reflect that the same can't be said for masters, political mistresses. They sent you, of all days, to disrespect us on December the 4th. While them ladies sat on their stage, laying it down about how their loved ones got laid down by the state and put in them graves. Those are your words that cut across that crowd like a cold piece of steel. Man, I know cold-blooded killers that get more compassion for their people than you. There's an old saying that goes, hurt people, hurt people. So with that being said, we can only suppose that you were speaking brutally, truthfully, when you said, you can't feel. You see, there's pork in this here beef, and this shit bigger than you and me. For this ain't no case that can be simply relegated to black men as opposed to black women. In fact, better yet, the struggle is being slandered by the system. Nah, on second thought, just in case they still don't get it, better said, the movement is under attack by the man, the motherfucking machine. The people's pain reflects. We love people because it's lovely to love the people. All power to the people. The people's pain reflects. We feel this shit. We got to deal with this shit.
What would I do?
We feel the pain.
If I could.
But African men were castrated on the slave ships, and our mothers and sisters were raped and whipped.
And
Stephen Biko in the South, so-called South Africa, the Don Kimantis in Kenya, Patrice Lumumba's and Kwame Nkrumah's, the Winnie Mandela's, Charles Soules in Liberia, those who forced work in the diamond mines in Sierra Leone, the Dessaloon in Haiti, we hear you, Dos Post Mollies in Brazil, we feel you, defending New Hangers, Ella Baker, the Marcus Garvey's, Malcolm X, and all the greats, and all those who have been sent to the grave one way or another by the state. Abu Jamal, the Sunday out at Coley's, the NFL tears, the seat numbers, the move nines, and all those who are doing time.
And just think of all
the Brian
time.
Smiths, the Orlando Wallys, and the 17-year-old sisters in Cook County Jail. We feel your pain. The Ayanna Joneses, the Eric Gardners, the Fred Lartice Wilsons, and the Catherine Johnsons, the Rukia Boys, the Oscar Grants, Mike Browns. And the countless of other victims. We doing this here for the unborn, the living and the dead. The defense captain Mark Clark, the chairman Fred, little Bobby Huggins, badass bunch of Carters, John Huggins, your brother, his sister, my cousins, the Laquan McDonalds, and the rest of the slave boatload, those names who might not be said, Park, and the rest of the ghetto griots, as the statement dropped, we feel your pain.
I'm just now on now. Okay, let me run the introduction again then. Heads up, eyes open to fifth clinch. Welcome again to another episode of Free Them All Radio, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Happy Jr. and Rob Malcolm, a.k.a. The Latest Rage. It's a weekly program with the Black Panther Party Cubs. We're not inside the studio today. Those who are outside the Chicago area have heard about, know about the storm. You know about the storm. Snow is deep. The storm is hitting hard. So we're not in the studio. However, the program continues. So, again, you still can be able to call in at 929-477-3785. I'm not on Instagram now because I think I have accessibility to get on Instagram right now. But y'all can take a moment, take a pause for the calls, share this page with someone, tag someone with this here. We are live on YouTube. We are streaming StreamYard and YouTube. Tag, subscribe to the page, Chairman Fred Jr., when you're spelled out. And again, you can call in 929-477-3785. Here's a weekly program we have here. We're going to get to you this week back for direct from the Happy House. We kind of moved last minute because, again, the storm hit. We did the flyers out. So a couple of PSAs I wanted to put out there, People's Service announcements. It's a brother Hess, who has been a longtime supporter, who's locked up. this brother has did a phenomenal amount of work from behind the walls, locked up. So I'm going to have to give out his information. We need people to send get some support to him. He's locked up. He has supported the work for long periods of time. He has great, update us what's going on inside the camps. So before we get up, I'm going to give his contact information. Let me preface with this. The people's pain reflects. We said it's climate. The coronavirus is like capitalism on steroids. In other words, it's more intense. We've been going through all the time. And everything is political. Life, death, in fact, that's the basic essence of it. You know, we talk about food, clothing, and shelter. How was dished out? Who receives it? How is taken? The life and death. Who gets to live? Who lives? Who dies? How do we live? How do we die? It's because we distinguish living from existing. Minister UEP Newton, and it says that he had no fear of death. He said he had no fear of death. He had a fear of a death without meaning. No fear of death, but a fear of death without meaning. I recall when I was held captive, and I recall a situation in Menard concentration camp. And just the thought, I remember writing my letters from inside the camp. And my letters, in essence, they were like wheels. They were like, who gets what. I recall struggling with a brother one time on a visit in Menard. He was talking about, Cameron, you get out. I said, what part don't you understand? They're not letting me up out of here alive. I recall even as a child coming up, and we heard about this brother. I think I was about 11 to 12 years old, and how we had heard about a brother who had got murdered, and we had said something to the fact that, man, Jesus, he was old. He was 21 years old. I recall even how we, as a children, even we heard about when something happened that your name would be in the Chicago Defender newspaper. I'm gonna get a roll call for all these brothers and sisters too before we came in there. Who did I just get a call? And I hope that while we have this discussion, that this is going to inspire people. You know what I'm saying? But tag, send us information, upcoming funerals. I know it becomes like a norm to us. We got to keep these names on us in our minds and our hearts. And I'm going to talk about that. But again, brothers call me now, Tiffin Jackson Bay. Here's it tomorrow and Friday. Kim just said, Hakeem, and there's this. Tomorrow is California. Okay, so, I just missed someone else, as they just told me. So, Pat, I might want you to repost it again to come around before we leave. I'm going to, in regards to Hakeem, if I get caught up before the show, so repost it again. And I'll need everybody else to send these funeral services and so on and so forth. I want to preface with this. Even we talked discussions about, last program, it was something we was talking about, and someone said it's psychological. I forgot what it was in particular. And I said, we can't just have a blanket assessment of just saying this is medical or psychological. The politics of it, how we, the different, that, like, even Denzel Washington talked about, culturally speaking, he said something to the effect like, Steven Spielberg could have done Godfather, and Martin Scorsese could have done Schindler's List. He said, however, there's different cultures. It's important that even how we, like death in our community, life and death in our community, when we put, how we deal with it, Like in New Orleans, they have the second line. We'll talk about that too. How we, I'm putting official call up for some support. For pieces of people who, who I knew throughout my life, who's impacted my life. And no one should simply go through this process of just existing. I see this process of life. I say, in fact, a legacy is more important than your life. We have to be able to spend our time to physically be here, but a template, a prototype that people can relate to how you deal with certain situations, you know, a legacy. And to point out, and that's not in a romanticism sort of way. In other words, to come out, a lot of times the system forces you in absolutes. A person is, this is all good, this is all bad. Tupac had assessed. Tupac had said that, my brother's skills would be, oh, man, I love you, my brother. That's the brother who gave my tattoo, on birthday of the Black Panther Party. You sure did. Yes, indeed. Pac said, I want to make sure that my pros outweigh my cons in life. People, what we, you know what I'm saying, and Pac talking about the roles and the conflict, what we have to deal with. And that, you know what I'm saying, that should be assessed. It's a philosophical tool that we use, that you heard me speak about before, dialectical materialism. Dialectical materialism is, we recognize that things are continuously being born as well as they're dying and disintegrating. Continuously be ever evolving. Also, take into account, I'm impacted by people I meet and vice versa, who I come into contact with. Minister UEP News said that, his brother said that, Minister UEP News said that, Minister Huey said, when I go to bed, when I wake up, I won't be the same man as I went to when I went to bed. And you want to look in your life, you know what I'm saying? There's some people who knew these brothers who in particular we have on the fly today. And we want to talk about how you, you know what I'm saying, calling in, how they impacted you. You know, there are certain meals in your life that you can go back and say, I remember this meal. Not just the meal, the smell, the warmth, when you ate of that, you know what I'm saying, all that. Certain encounters with certain people, certain struggles, certain discussions you have that you encounter and say, I remember these forces. I remember this impact on my life, so on and so forth. And in many occasions, that's what we're left with. You know, I mean, the photographs, all that plays a role. To be able to place a stain in the brain and a mark in the heart. You're going to be able to pass down. This is support for future generations, you know. New Orleans, they have what they call the second line. It's a ritual. I remember our comrade Chewy. Storm of Hurricane America, New Orleans. We had told him, hold fast, don't go back down there. We just too long. He had to go down there. He went down there. His lady, Pat, was one of those. In fact, they showed her image on the news. She was in the water in the storm. That we call Hurricane Katrina. She had ended up, and she died as a result of that. And I want to say that. A lot of times, this system kills all of us one way or another. I don't care if it's stress. I don't care what whatever you are saying, one way or another. And Pat, comrade Cornette Chewy, he had went down. He called us to go down to Kansas City where her family was at, and in fact, to have the second line for her down in Kansas City. This is something foreign to people. They're like, what is that? In Kansas City. They're like, what is the big deal? He wanted to give her that, you know what I'm saying? Not only for him. It wasn't just for her. It's reciprocal. So when we talk about certain people, you know, even in their death, in their past, in their physical transition, we're talking about the legacy of the individual. It's not only people, a lot of people say, some people say, well, the person is dead, what can we do? The deal is, we're not cut from that. We are communal people. In fact, one of the messages of the Black Panther Party, Field Marshal George Jackson has said that we are fighting. We are fighting for the unborn, the living, and the dead. We are fighting for the unborn, the living, and the dead. And I have people say, well, what's the system? Okay, it's the climate. We have to worry about what's down. We can deal with dynamics of spirituality. And again, legacies are important, but sometimes the old war stories, so on and so forth, are important. And also the process. Make sure you go through the process, man. How did it rest easy? We say, rest up. You know what I'm saying? And not in a, I think the Moors, they have the Moors Americans thing, like, you know, distinguish your sleep and rest. It's a big thing. Like, I remember those terms, like, you know, saying, like, no, rest. That's just a, it's distinguish your sleep and rest. I'm going to open up. And we got a couple, this brother who's, last week I got the word. I'm saying it's an order, I received the word. Then I've seen this on social media, too. I got the phone call. Talked to his niece, the Shiva and others. Brother Kwabini, who I can't really flash, go back, how far back we go back. And his niece, her mother, Gloria, you know, we talking. And I guess, they said, like, even when you go through, like, a person, they submit, like, death coming even with themselves, saying, like, your life flashes back. Your past situations flash through you. You think about it. And but even hearing about other people's physical transition, their death, you flash back on memories. And you know, so you think about things that the brain just picks up certain dynamics, you know. Late nights, you know, riding that, you know, I remember the Uhuru House, the Channel 3 happened in Uhuru House. And not just him as an individual, but the impact, the relationship. We had the headquarters on 5409 South Halsted. And we were cleaning the neighborhood up. His other nephew, Saint Q. Oh, what's my other little brother's name? He's peace passed now. Come to me in a minute. Come to me 1 minute. They were youngsters, and they decided to clean the neighborhood up. And there's one lady, Charlotte, kept on trying to give them some money. And they're like, no, we can't accept nothing. She ended up turning her restaurant over to us. I'm starting to say, like, the indirect impact of people with you. Like, you meet certain people who say, and the chain reaction, you know what I'm saying? And the respect relationship that, you know what I'm saying, the, Kwabini, and you know what I'm saying? And that name's connected to so many others, the Moose Man and so many others, the multitude, and you know what I'm saying? And just state to state, in fact, I was questioning, you know, where's, you know, is he going to be buried? You're going to have a service in Minnesota, Chicago, where? And they say gonna get his body, gonna get in Chicago, and there's some struggles about getting him buried now. So we're gonna have some calls calling now, and I know this is last minute. A lot of people need to GoFundMe set up for them to see how it's set up. I think we come from before that. I remember my, you know, even after organizing the call, after assistance was certain for funds and stuff. I remember going around putting the Folgers coffee can at the stores. I remember going around picking the donations from Kwabini's nephew, G. Nate, for his funeral. And you hit back to back with so many different dynamics. Flashback on, I decided to share the war stories. Fast forward to 3 days, the day before yesterday. Several calls early in the morning. And that first call, Comrade Daphne. And I seen the missed calls. I said, okay, I see you trying to get in contact with me. It's the brother who I had met indirectly through another brother over the school with, but me and this, but he clicked online as opposed to the brother who went to school with me. And she, he told me Yogi had passed. This is different. And my family, Yogi Ward, is here, Jackie's daughter, and continue condolences because the deal is in regards to her mother, Jackie. There's no statute limit, no time limit on the pain that we all feel, you know, with losses in our families. Ain't no cutoff date. And I got two Yogis in my phone. I got, you know, and I get the brother Yogi. And I get word he had passed. And my last conversation with him was calling him to tell him about Kwabini. past transition. And we had planned to see each other at the services for quad meeting. And I actually asked him, so what are you back to Chicago? And like, yes, why you leaving Atlanta? You know, I could. And so he's gonna get back up there. The plan was to meet up at Quabini's funeral. And you hear about these things, you know, back to back. And then a lot of times you have, you know, deaths as well as, you know, life's births that are markers in your life. You think, oh, I remember this, I remember that, I remember, you know, getting dressed to go to certain funerals. I remember it's a time where people even too are being deprived of that. Like even the ceremony for wedding, ceremony for birth, ceremony for funerals. I remember, you know, as a child growing up, we were this sister named Tam. She was the one that sung the songs. It's so hard to get by. Like, we asked people, like, what's your graduation song? What's your funeral song? And this part of the grief, this part of the release, the grieving process, these are certain dynamics that's important to, you know, to stick in your mind. Like, you hear that song, you can still, you know, remember that simultaneously while still living. Not that we're forced to absolute, when you got to keep on living. Yeah, we can still move and live, but at the same time, these are dynamics in our life, you know what I'm saying, impacts us. We cannot afford to cut off. I can't think about, you know, the experience that I cannot, you know, dismiss. You can't even calculate who's impacted your life, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I want to open up, you know, war stories, even now, even that. Because a lot of times you see people subjectively. You see from your own viewpoint. Well, that's my friend. That's my brother. That's my sister. And with the different ingredients from a child, you know what I'm saying, talking to, you know what I'm saying, I was talking to Yogi's daughter the other day, and you know what I'm saying, different things. And you get the different ingredients, you know what I'm saying? You know, Quabini, I remember this household, his mother, the communalism, I mean, whatever time of night, the family, you know. I remember out east, I forgot who else was at me in Quabini, and he was saying, the sister mother wanted to meet me. We go on staff, and she got a gang of cats. Cats ran out. I said, man, come on, I ain't no cats, man, you know what I'm saying? So we ended out, and I was just holding the cats running, just flying around everywhere. And we laughed about it. He said something to the effect, man. He said, "Jay, you be the Black Panther. You don't like cats." I said, "I don't like no domesticated niggas. I don't like no domesticated cats." And these are just sort of the thoughts, you know, saying, you know, rising. And even those, you know, council, you know, you they have people in your community that you can back and forth on certain discussions with. So that being said, let's open the lines up. Let's also, I need some contact. I don't know if they have nothing set up yet, but I want to make sure that we have somebody that is called for some assistance. And, you know, the support, the resources, finance, funds. I know in Quabini's case, the transportation and having them buried, I'm assuming you're the contact person. I don't know if no GoFundMe, I don't know if they're set up. But again, I just hate that we're at the stage in the game. That if we, you know, we can't remember numbers on our own. I get a text with them. We could, you know, say the polls. I mean, we used to call somebody, or if you get on the bus, to get some aid and assistance on something, then we have to use a GoFundMe as opposed to, okay, whose house you dropping off at? You know, who do we get it to? So ideally, that'd be the situation, but I know this is a day and age of technology and Facebook friends and social media, you know what I'm saying? And but ideally, that'll be the case. Any calls in queue? Free them all. This is a comrade, brother comrade, but does he want to call us a cue? Am I still alive? You want to see it? Free them all. Are we still alive?
Yes, sir. Free them all, Timmy. We ain't got no callers in cue. They need to press 1 to be in queue, but there's several callers on the air. They need to press one so you know to be in queue.
Callers, 929-477-3785, but you got to press one. Press one. Okay, right on. I want to shout out my brother. Well, he got an event. Matter of fact, the Quarry on 79th, is it Ingleside? They have, y'all heard his brother, Real Men Cook. They've been getting down for quite some time. In fact, I'm going to get out. I'm going to do something with it. Because I ain't no joke when that barbecue, I ain't going to show my own ego, but that, on the fish, grilling some fish, I'm going to get down with this here. It's Real Men Cook. We're going to do some phenomenal things. And you, they have an event, jazz. Go to the Quarry, I think thequarry.com. As a matter of fact, he can text me and just see what the event they got going on. They got a Super Bowl watch party going in, going to be going down after February 13th. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of respect for this, but I haven't worked with him much as I would like to. You know what I'm saying? But we're gonna do what it do. We're going to do what it do. So, again, that's the Quarry. You can send me the email address and see what things they got going on. Again, they got February 13th. They got Super Bowl watch party, and something else you got. Jazz. I know the storm is kind of rough though, but might be cool to take a little breeze up there. You know, say some jazz. You know, I might go there. Grab me a. I don't know if you got no cigar room over there. Now you can take a little cigar break, whatever. Okay, I can't have these glasses.
Chairman, while we're waiting on callers.
Primo,
can you hear me?
Let me get it closed.
Primo. Chairman.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Primo.
Okay. So while we're waiting on the callers to press one, I don't know if you've heard that four people have been arrested in connection with the accidental overdose of Michael K. Williams, and who was a comrade of ours. And they were, I believe it was yesterday that they were charged. And it was four guys so I don't know if you've been made aware of that or saw that article or not.
Yeah, I saw that. And ironically, I was in the barbershop having some struggles about Michael K. Williams, you know, a.k.a. Omar, a.k.a.
Chalky White. And so many others. Yeah.
I have almost looked at and a guy in the barbershop that said something to the effect like he overdosed. I said, hold on. And I pulled up the video where Michael K. Williams was in Harlem, New York on Malcolm X's birthday with us. And we shut down shopping district. And I said, they killed people for less, assassinated people for less. Verdict is still out in regards to his death. And the type of what's in our community, the fentanyl, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the state, they charged with murder. They're charging, and it's a battle to connect this ongoing, this connection, whether it be direct or indirect death, you know what I'm saying? Murder of our people, our community, like even the type. I mean, down to the type of foods, the type of drugs that permeate our communities. But I think I think the exact charges that they at the state's own. They're saying I think they actually give them a charge of murder. And this would be it's a position that, like, it's even the dynamics of suicide, they're talking about the suicide rate, what's happening with the black community in particular. Even suicide is murder. You know what I'm saying? If you put it in the correct context, what's not, when I talk about laws in Africa, all those slave ships, to put in the context those women with the children being thrown overboard to the sharks. What conditions what conditions caused these quote-unquote decisions?
Mm-hmm.
What conditions caused these? What options? I have an issue with people saying we all have choices. I have an issue with that. I think it's a race and a class arrogance.
Mm-hmm,
I think it's a position how it cannot relate to, you know what I'm saying, to the conditions in the Cottonmouth community. I think it's something contrary to the fact that when the police raid a house, when they walk up to a woman, they ask her, does she have any children? That's political, asking her that. That's a statement. That's a statement that implies a whole, that triggers the maternal connection of a woman to, about, you know, knowing what the DCFS, the Department of Children's Family, to show what it does. It's a trigger. It exploits a reality that's human nature. I think the deal is, had an old saying, friends like this who need enemies. These are choices. Black community, you know, so the Cottonmouth community is facing, and in fact, that's what we're fighting for, self-determination. And it's funny as a choice. We can't even choose how we want, you know, like, to relieve ourselves. I think even how we fight. Malcolm X in America is in a unique position, the Valley of the Bullet. And that America really sets the stage on how we respond to it. So I definitely want to say the verdict is still out, you know, and I'm saying this as objectively as I can, but I study history on, you know, what they done to Billie Holiday, who they took this leave a note just for her life.
Right, yep.
That it was the drugs and the person that, in fact, I received word that the position that we took with Judas and the Black Messiah, it really upped the ante for them to even put the FBI's presence in the life of Billie Holiday, a person who they call the blue card or some card that you have to be able to perform. That they pulled it from her, they constantly hounded her. And I think it's important to put in context. I told you in a minute to you, E.P. Newton. People talk about him going through his struggles. And I talk about the building he stayed in. The FBI had a person who was assigned just to study and to record his afterthoughts, stuff he would say off the cuffs. And I say, at minimum, to put this in context, you know, this government is not, man, they're not the way back of President John F. Kennedy, one of their major representatives. And to really, and like I said, the positive life and death, and, you know, I said on the interview one time, Ice-T was on, I told Ice-T, I said, one thing you said I related to. I said, I related to this. It was an Arsenio Hall show. And they had said something, they showed a photograph of Ice-T. And people were laughing in the audience. And Ice-T's response was, he said, who are y'all wearing around that time to come see me? The audience got quiet. It put in context the fashion of that time, the clothing, what was the options? A fashion designer recently told me they're talking about bringing back the loose fitting clothes. He didn't say that the community is starting to wear things with the community is wearing now. They're going to impose it back, and they'll say, and all they got to do is get the right person to throw up their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens, you know what you mean? I say, look at them boots that Kanye West is doing. It's going to be a fashion craze. This is going to sell things up, and then you limit the choices that you have. I caught myself in Africa. Looking, feeling for some fried food. I'm in Chicago where everything is fish and chicken. Everything. It's just fried. In fact, in one of the stores I went to, he was offended. I asked him, could he grill a fish? To the point that I started to believe it's something that we on our own do. Can't fathom nothing else. And to the point my body physically crazy connected to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
and the stores that are put there. You know, in America's definition of diplomacy is letting others have their way. The type of drawers is cut. Who we are impacted by decisions. When Bill Clinton, former U.S. President Bill Clinton, has the NAFTA agreement, North American Free Trade Agreement, under his tenure, the trickle-down impact with the Sinaloa, the cartel, other cartels, the impact of the type of drugs we receive in the community. It's romanticism to believe that somebody in the Vietnam hooked up and brought the dope over here, or what they say in that movie, American Gangster.
Yeah.
And this guy went over to South Vietnam on his own, talked, a black dude went to South Vietnam, and he got pulled over. Now, hey, a nigga ain't going through the Bronx without getting pulled over. I mean, can't get a cab. He went to South Vietnam, got this dope by himself, brought it over here, got on the plane with Henry Kissinger. Put the dope on the plane with Henry Kissinger, got it back to America. Come on, man. You better tell me about the white dude with the Santa Claus bag. So, and then especially, they knock us up on GP for nothing less. So we want to definitely say the verdict is still out.
Yeah.
We want to keep the pressure on. What this system would do, they would give up concessions. They would say, okay, they'll give you a James Van Dyke. They'll give you a John Burns. They'll give you a Derek Chauvin. They'll push this whole dynamic. I said, Derek Chauvin should have said in court, man, this is the place to get the Nino Brown. This is the protest. This how y'all, this how the training, this is the thought of how, this how you, the modus operandi on how you get out in the Connors community. This, we're going to watch this closely. Case of Michael K. Williams.
And you know, Chairman, I was going to say, you know, with you saying they knock you off for less by him standing up, you know, he was out there with on Malcolm X Day and you know, his solidarity. He, and then they had pictures of, it's like surveillance. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
So they were watching him.
Yes.
Watching his moves. Yeah. Yeah. They had he was on surveillance.
Man, no doubt about it. And the picture they had of him in Harlem at Malcolm X Day, and strategically, intentionally cut me off. I'm sitting right next to him. The pictures don't show me with him. This government will tell you that Tupac, Biggie Smalls was on surveillance. Man, in Chicago, Willie Lord. If nothing happened to you today and not sanctioned to know about. This is a big plantation. Ain't nothing coming through this motherfucker that I know. I don't care if it's chillin' or crack. That's some cut on it. I'm liking watching these movies now about power and stuff. They telling you right in your face.
Yeah.
They talking about this movie about a cult. The Rockadoosies. It's called Ruthless. They telling you when they get through popping, who's over the cartel? Who's all this abstract group, this bad man. Who's over there? Parole officer. Don't know who's over here. The Senator son. Now we talking. Political. Now we talking. Within a minute, people all this want, we need to talk to these artists. They keep disrespecting. All this want to run around in circles and all that. Power. Ain't no, hey, Whoopi Goldberg says she apologized. She don't see another thing this way again. They ain't had no racial sensitivity classes with her. They had no forms with us. They ain't check since you no Virgo or no Capricorn. The criminal psychology of their behavior is taken by consequences. We're
Well, Chandler, everybody don't understand what you said with the politics. Oh, these rappers know what to say and what not to say. Oh, these, oh, and sometimes these TV talk shows know what to say and what not. Who to joke with? Who to, and sometimes you get a little loose. You hang around, so you wave off. When at least get a little loose on you, that muscle, you wave off. They have things in the place called a reality check. And your educational process is a lot shorter than the Black Panther Party political education process, which is 6 weeks. Because a lot of it got to be the political test. It's really before they brought you in. It's ingrained. It's ingrained, and they know they're dealing with before you get the ring. You've been vetted already. They know, you're not going to touch your stuff a little bit, but they've been vetted already. They give you your background, where you come from. This brother come on and tell me, well, the other day, he met this person, this blah, blah. I said, listen, man. When I be saying certain assessments, it's not no judgment call. Why you go look at these movies? Look at the movie Power Up, Power Two. Why the jury pool? Why do they ask what race the person is? How this person are they married? They trying to have a relationship with them. They doing a psychological profile. How old are you? That jury is going to see this lady dressed like this girl and won't take out for the date. Well, they won't be Capricorns. That's the last of the thing. Politics conditions. Check all of that. It may be someone in someone's family down the road. Something happened to your life. Michael K. Williams, you look the dynamics of him. How he dealt with struggle. How he dealt even the cut on his face, the upfront honesty of him, how he was upfront. Like he could have, he came in clear. I ain't no get out cat. I don't do this upfront. Many of these people, they come, they have no concept of who they are, so you can mold them into who you want to make them out to be. To come in with a clarity, this is who I am. What points of unity can I do? And that's what this brother came. And that's what's just a problem for the system. Because see, I'm going to say this. One of the things about Africa, I said, whether by force or by choice, they knew they were black. Whether by force or by choice, they knew they were black. Contrary to what this system has done to us. And I struggle with a lot of people who come with an abstract response. We got to let them know the Africans, blah. You have, like one brother said, one guy said the other day in Africa, he said, you got to look at America. It wasn't built for this, to deal with black people correctly. Like a car, you said, what is this designed for? What is it built for? You have to look at certain people, man, what are they built for? You have to design the history of it. And you have to be careful with pushing you cannot have an overall transformation. The machinery, it ain't built for it. You know what I'm saying? Like people say, man, you go to, they say, man, I want to get this person clean. The system, when they put you on parole, they put guys right by dope spots. They know what they're doing. You say, man, it's not built for rehabilitation. It's just the prisons are, it's a catch to the toilet. I don't know how to be a criminal, but in prison. It's not built for rehabilitation. It's not designed for that. And to come in with that clarity, or at least have some frame of reference before you got there, you know, so that you can relate to. Said, man, this is what this is. Their purpose is to destroy me. This is not about rehabilitation. And I said, there's one brother who has an abstract thing about Africa. We got to say, I have to be careful. Don't snatch nigga from them too hard, too quick. He said, what do you mean? I said, listen. Oh, said a guy named that comedian, Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson said, after he made his first $1 million, he recognized he was not a nigga anymore. I did his first $1 million, he said, recognize he was not a nigga anymore. However, he said, he didn't know what he was. See, give me a nigga before you give me some of these confused ass coons. To know who you are, you open for any dynamic. It's worse than a silly putty. And then to know who you are, to take it to context, I am a product of my environment, my condition.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't understand Park. And Park say, man, my adversary, I'm a product of all that. He said, man, I speak. He said, you hear me? You hear a sentence of pimps and prostitutes. He taking into account his bond. Acknowledging that. Also acknowledging that dynamic. That he had 1/8 of that, the party, the passing party, you know what I'm saying? That was still being deprived of that structure that was ongoing. And, and had that clink been out, that, oh my God, I say, woo. Had we officially got our paws on that cat, oh my God, man. And the sister knows that. This sister knows that. Field Marshal George Jackson said he feared what would have happened to him had it not been for the Black Panther Party. It's over. We say that's different between 20 million niggas and 20 million niggas on with the politics. To be able to put this in context, our death, our lights, why we got, either we don't know a person directly, how we you know, connected to each other. I look back at brothers who I grew up with, we had heat with each other. But the respect we have for each other, and we talk about the battles we had and struggles we had, how it impacted us. Yes, indeed. Social engineering, streets. And once we, right on, and once we really put in context who we're dealing with, I'm going to start doing these movie reviews too. Like every dynamic, you look at the butt breaking that goes on in these success stories. Yes. Whether it be an empire, empire, the political, the butt breaking that goes on. Yes. The contrabands of capitalism that I produce. Yes. Our images, our definitions of beauty. How we look at beauty is political.
Mm-hmm.
I relieve our pain. It's political. It's political. Turn China to a nation of junkies. They fought for that. It's called the Opium Wars. They fought to turn them out. Chinese had the Boxer Rebellions. When they put it in context, what this was, how the British was able to take a plant, the opium plant, and corrupt it. How the system take a drug, the plant, you know what I'm saying, from cocaine to crack, the fentanyl that's flooded, that's hitting the marijuana, everything, the fentanyl, the chemical biological warfare that's coming through every dynamic in our community.
Yep.
And it states the surveillance knowing, and you can really tell the connection. Every movie you look at, everybody is saying the connection with the cartel. The mafioso, and this is not a racist assessment, this is a realist assessment. It's putting in context the history. How Jay Hoover denied the mafioso even existed. That was the conduit to do certain moves. They said in the movie The Godfather, this we gonna run it to. But it was bigger than them. They tell you when they first with the table Luciano, I didn't call him Lucky Luciano because it wasn't lucky about him. He was an international payroll for the government. They didn't get out on Mussolini. They had the big meeting at the hotel. They tell you who was there, who spoke up. They'll give you got the guy that's supposed to be the first, like the rat in the mafia. But Luciano was on the payroll.
The French connection, the cartel connection.
Still going down. All you do, they change the names, move around. In some cases, they can change the names. Need y'all to make sure we get a point person for these funeral services. For Brother Quabin, Brother Yogi, I need a point person to call in. I know I get several family members should be calling in, viewing in. I need I know y'all still getting the service together. So if y'all, Joey's daughter's online, I've been your family's online, anybody y'all tap in, make sure y'all press one. And I need, if we can get an objective point plan so we can get people to get a number, a general number, what have you, to call, you know, say, get something to you. So be it. Anyone press one? Anyone call in? This snowstorm, I know y'all ain't outside.
Uh-oh. It's bad out there?
Oh. Woo. They say 5 more inches coming for tomorrow. It's so deep out there. 929-477-3785, then press 1. I need you to help fight for you. 929-477-3785, then press 1.
Press.
929-477-3785, press 1 to be brought in. There's nothing else. I typically want to fight for these cases. Give me one person, a point person. I politicize it. We need a point person to help me out and put this call out. You know, so give me a story. Give me something. You know, so help me humanize Kwabena. Help me humanize Yogi. For those who don't know, we can know these people out. You know, so I'm putting them on for this human direct contact. So, okay, man, Ransom, we need some assistance on this here. I'll give these brothers Gary. I think this mother's funeral. Got kid Squirrel. I know Ms. Neely, she has passed. Our condolences also. Any callers call in? Phil Jackson Bates.
Grandma, can you hear me? It's callers on the line. They're not pressing 1. I don't want to blame it on them. It might be the state, you know what I'm saying? That's not showing right. You, but I don't see nobody pressing 1.
Yeah. Press 1 or... Those who are on Facebook,
Grandma,
you kind of muffled. I don't think I'm muffled. You kind of muffled, comrade.
All right. You can, I just let one in. Call us 708-631.
Welcome to Free Mall Radio.
And they phone might be muted. I don't know. All right. There's another one. They coming up. I'm going to keep them on or try another one.
Call us 708. Did you press 1 and take your mute on?
I got them live on it. 708-631. I don't want to say their whole list. I'm going to try somebody else.
Yeah, Fremont, all power. What's going on, Chairman Fred?
Fremont, welcome to my radio. Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. I like the information that you're giving us. You know, I'm learning a lot. But this is something that was on my mind, and I really want to ask you this, because I don't like to just say certain stuff and it's not true. What is your relationship with David Lemieux?
My relationship with him?
Yes, sir.
I don't have a relationship with him. What do you mean, my relationship with him?
No, in other words, I was listening at Tariq Nasheed. I was, you know, and he was saying that the guy who played in The Spook Who Sat by the Door, you know, he was saying that he was in a party, you know, and I just wanted you to clarify that up. You know,
Go ahead, bro.
Oh, okay. They were saying that he joined in the party. Okay, well, they were saying that he joined in the party around spring of 69, and then he later became a police officer, and they were saying that he had a bad rep on the Chicago PD, but I wanted you to clear that up. I mean, if you
have curiosity, who my people with, bro?
Sir?
I had a curiosity. Who am I speaking with? What's your name, brother? The background.
This is Brother Harold. We met when you came to New Orleans in 2015. We was over there by Black Star Cafe across the river in Algiers. We met. We talked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna request this from you.
Yes, sir.
Request this from you. I had a discussion. A lot of people, like, I had a discussion with a brother earlier. He called me right at night. So it's the interview or some questions. And on the, I'm real big about a list of things. I know there are no Cliff Notes and Cub plans. I requested you one. That, okay, like you get, like you just like even. Like a lot of people ask me questions. I say call into the show. If you can give a little background, like you just came in. Like, I don't know if anybody know for me who you talking about. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. I mean, because go ahead, brother.
No,
like I said, I don't just like all the stuff out. I said since you have all this, you know, information, you know, you may be knowing, because sometimes we can be misled. You know, people can say certain things and it ain't true.
But a lot of times. Okay, like this now. Like, it's the thing of IRG, December 4th, right? If that's where we should. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And at the event, this individual just popped up out the blue. He was pushing the F, like, for me to come to an event, and it was already scheduled for me, you know, for me to be somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? And if he wanted his answer right there, he wanted his sound bite right there. You know what I'm saying? And the deal was, it was endangering the event that I'm already was set for. And he came out, he said, well, I'm on a mission. I got an agenda. And I am a servant of the people and serving history. I want a Big Mac right now. But the meals, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of things we do is, a lot of questions are really comments. Are you hearing me, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
You listen, okay.
Yeah.
I said, you hear us. Well, this is something else. Dig this here. I think we owe it to the listeners to at least give them some background. You came in and just said, what's my relationship with him? But you take it for granted. People are familiar who David Lemieux is.
Okay. No. In other words, what I meant to say was, I mean, because like I said, we hear one thing, but I'm saying, did you come up with any information about this guy?
Could you give it to the audience or say to the people? I'm real okay. Like if I came to the show, right, and just came in and
yes,
said, man, Quabini passed, man, Yogi passed. Folsom, I gave a whole. Are you listening to the whole entire show?
I just tuned in.
You just tuned in?
Yes, sir.
This ain't no, with all due respect, bro, this ain't no transient hotel.
Okay.
This ain't no check in or check out. It's a foundation. So the deal is, the Black Panther probably said information is raw material for new ideas. I know this is a day and age of YouTube where cats come in for sound bites and click ins. I have prefaced with a call out for these brothers, the official day funeral services. I have done a whole, even though I know these brothers, right, personally, Yogi Karvin. However, I owe it to the people to provide a political education. You know what I'm saying? About death in general. I open the door for their families, their grandmothers who have been passed. I was at least to open up the discussion with an objective to come in. I know some people want to come in the room and say, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm good, I'm gone. However, to at least say, wait a minute, this is an institution you have here that you don't say that you it don't get all the likes, it don't get all the subscribers. There's a lot of YouTube channels here, people come on and say this and say, you know what I'm saying, and say who hate on. It's a political integrity that we built up through our work, through our resume that distinguishes us. So we call out, in fact, not only before we call out contradictions, we heighten the contradictions.
So the people themselves, they can see that just they can. So we give you, we got enough information. You can say, whoa, wait a minute. If this is this, then this is this. Out of curiosity, do you know what organization I shared out of curiosity?
No.
I tell
no.
You don't even know, I chair.
Oh, I mean, I'm just saying the only thing I do know of, he played in that movie. He had a little clip in that movie.
No. Do you know what organization that I'm the chairman of? Me.
Yeah. You're the chairman of the Black Panther Party Cubs. Yeah. And the Prisoners of Conscience Committee.
Okay, right on. Respect.
Okay.
Respect, right on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been following you for some years now.
Respect. Okay, I appreciate that. Right on. Okay, but now you got my ear.
Okay, no. What I'm saying is, though, because certain things that us young people, you know, those of us that was born in the 80s, so you can school us up on a lot of stuff, because a lot of times we get our information from reading these books. And like you would say, everything in that book is not real. It's like certain things. They tell us that you was killed by a drug deal. And I don't know. We can only go by what people tell us.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth.
Let me get a little feel who I'm talking to. There we go. This is imperative. This is very important. Now, because mind you, no sight with you, brother, personally. Mind you, I come across I get 100 calls every morning, right? And people want me to do certain things. I said, okay, meet me down at the courthouse for your son. And most of the calls get cut away just from calls for certain commitments, right? So this process, all I'm asking for, because a lot of times people, like I told a brother earlier, he called me today. He's doing his book. And he told me different history on, you know what I'm saying, street tribes and electoral politics in Chicago. And I said, man, let me be a little, I say, sir, like the movie, Judas and Black Messiah. There are certain things that could not be put in there because you take it out of – a lot of times the people are not ready for certain information. People say, are we ready? I say, okay, sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like certain people have never had no relationship to a Muslim, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're talking to them about a dowry for their daughter. Mm-hmm. The guy says, you know, when the imam says he bring a dowry, you know what I'm saying? That's why we don't know no context. But what you mean? You gonna trade some donkeys and some mules with some goods for your daughter? Out of context, how they're taken. You know what I'm saying? Some people have no frame of reference to the Black Panther Party is. So I want to, you know what I'm saying? With like in the movie, it was certain things to be put in, like, you know what I'm saying, what certain forces to be touched on, what conversations to be held, so on and so forth. So I was asking, could you preface with that? And what the question was, because, again, I know a lot of times information, when it's, you know what I'm saying, like, so I think people talk about stuff subjectively. When I went to Ferguson, we call it Mike Brown Town. When I got there, I was laying out to this young lady that I chair a different organization. She kept on pushing for this abstract unity. Then when I came back, after she was messed over personally, she wanted this quick fix. She wanted a needle in her arm. She wanted to go straight line. You know what I'm saying? She said, man, give us come on and say point blank. You know what I'm saying? These cats bogus. But fuck, have a bad relationship with her in a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
I say the way we address stuff, you know, that's a policy. The way we deal with contradictions, you know what I'm saying? That's a decorum. Like like I tell people, like, it's things in my life I've held my tongue on, because personally it could have benefited. However, politically, what it could have damaged. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Who studies what? And people like look at my resume and say, hold on, Chairman Vic consistent with this all the time. You have what audience I'm talking to, like the Panther Party, they distinguish rallies from meetings. Deborah Johnson, Donald Cool and Terry. When she first seen Chairman Fred, now you know what I'm saying, when he came to Wright Junior College to speak, he told the white people to leave the room. And they was like, there's certain discussions to have, you know, who wasn't winning and where. You know what I'm saying? Because I said, people, how they take certain information.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of the questions that people ask can really be addressed or adhered to and do a little homework on me. And so people come and say, man, hold on. Dialectical materialism. Hold on. I never,
man, let me go say when this man Sam Frey was locked up. Let me see who supported this. Let me see this campaign. Let me see who did this here. Let me go back and look at the documentary. The fact you seen the documentary?
Yeah, I got it.
They called Murder for Happy?
Yeah, I got it.
On the movie set, they kept on trying to push this bogus narrative that William O'Neill was Sam and Fred's friend. They kept on trying to push this initially, right? This came from this, I had to bring it out. Well, see, we plan to win. Again, this ain't no four-hour transient hotel. We want to heighten the contradiction. Like, not only what information you got, where it come from. I was like, where is this bogus narrative coming from? Huh?
Oh, the information that I got?
No. I'll give an example about.
Oh, okay.
See, it's real good. Like, I'm real big about skin in the game. Hiding the contradictions. Back to the point. Let me slow down. This point about I come on saying why this about the they initially with the movie. It was a narrative that there was a temporary push initially with the movie that O'Neill was quote unquote Fred's friend. That was the initial narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where is this coming from? And so we heightened it to the point where they had the bogus books that came out, the books they were referencing. You know what I'm saying? This book.
Yeah,
I hate to say this book. I won't give you no. Hear me out. Right? I'm gone now. Once you became. Once I'm there, I'm gone. Now, see, a lot of people like to ask me questions. Oh, he comes along. It's a piece of that movie where Chairman Fred talking about the credit union. And the guy say, we want to do a credit union. And Chairman Fred say, well, you know, I need no much business education process. And they say, well, the reason why we don't do a lot of talking because with us, what you said is a foregone conclusion. And Chairman Fred said, what? The reason why I do a lot of talking is there are no foregone conclusions with me. So this ain't no light switch. Ain't no cutting on, cut off. You know what I'm saying? So bear with me. A cub with me. Now. On the movie set, I come and say, where is this position coming from? Now, I'm talking about this narrative about this was of quote unquote Fred's friend. They was, you know what I'm saying? Even when Chairman Fred, even we referenced him, it was O'Neill. They had in the movie at first called him Bill. Fairly, we're reading the contradictions to the point where the shell came out. And the books that they were referencing were bogus books. This Jacoby Williams, some you know what I'm saying? And the list goes on and on. See, we going for the root of it. You follow what I'm saying? Not just for,
yes, sir.
I'm not just digging the pricks of the week. We going for the root of it. You follow what I'm saying? The heightened contradictions. I know a lot of times it's been those type of people come to grips with certain things. Most people come to grips with certain things that happen to them subjectively. You look at our resume. We acknowledge these countries beforehand. So. The book, it came out. See, this is coming from. And then it was an agenda to keep. I want to know, why is there an agenda to push this individual? You know what I'm saying? O'Neill.
Okay.
Even to the point, I said, go back. Let's look at the documentary. Find me a picture of Chairman Frank and O'Neill together. And it was out of the lab. You feel me?
I feel you.
We heighten the contradictions of the people themselves. We said, wait a minute. Why you think in a movie, in the propaganda for the movie, only one poster came out, and we had corrected that. That shows him, guess what, O'Neill. That was never Chairman for Air Security.
And
we want to arm you with something. I'm gonna use a biblical reference. What they say about giving a man a fish to eat for a day, teaching him the fish he learned, he learned to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a biblical reference. Heighten the contradictions. Tell you what this policy relates to. Use dialectical materialism to go back to yourself. It's really a simple but complex to see who was who. Because the reason why we say that, my brother.
Yes,
I'm gonna quote this cat, Pacino, who played Scarface in the movie Scarface. He said, "He want me to be the bad guy."
A lot of people want Chairman Fred to be the bad guy. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh?
I feel you. I feel you.
Chairman Fred Jr. We want to heighten the contradictions. I'm going to quote this other brother you need to be familiar with. His name was Dr. Ronald Satchel. He was Deputy Minister of Health, Dr. Satchel. You heard him?
Yeah, I heard of him. Yeah. I seen him on the documentary, All Power to the People.
You seen him on the documentary? Give me a little background on this cat. He's
okay.
A university. Heard the chairman speak. Quit sacrifice. Left school. Okay, Deputy Minister of Health, this man. Who had the people's advocate, made sure that the people talked to you respectfully when you came to the medical center. Business of Dr. Satchel say what? The Black Panther Party's not talking about overthrowing this government, this system. We're talking about heightening the contradictions so the people themselves can see the injustices and they can decide on what's what. You know what I'm saying? See, he say, well, Chairman Mao Zedong said, our backs are be ridden like oxen down the path of socialist revolution. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching. I recommend that y'all watch Power. I didn't get too much. I want to see how you relate to this. What's your assessment on Alpo in New York? These are plebiscites that we are doing, a people's vote. We need to see the will, the direction of the people. How do you relate to certain dynamics and contradictions? I'm not a dictator. We hiding the country. The guy told me today, he said, man, Chairman, he said, world's relationship with the Black Panther Party and the formula on devil disciples became the Black Disciples. He said, there are certain things that are documented you can talk about. He said, man, with the Red Squad themselves, say they were doing surveillance, they went to raid the Disciples' headquarters. They think Chairman Fred come out to do and talk to the Disciples. There are certain dynamics. You can go back and look at certain dynamics. You'll say it's called dialectical materialism. Look at, and most things are consistent. Sellout is one of the most overused terms in our community. Oh, I can't believe the movie with O.J. Simpson. They went back and showed him as a child what he was doing. He's been consistent. Change so the deal is do some historical analysis, my brother. And historical analysis also use every question and inquiry, we don't want nobody to bring, like, those don't bring no, once they'll come, I want a Big Mac.
Okay.
We serve fields, you know what I'm saying? The free breakfast program is just for no one child. You know what I'm saying? We serve meals. We can say, we bring the information you have. We're providing summation. But you know what I'm saying? Because the reality is there's a commonality in all of our families, all of our organizations. You know what I talked to your brother this morning. He told us the different struggles. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to say, well, this person got an issue. It's consistencies with empire and power. It's consistencies with the success, the quote-unquote success in the drug game and the music industry. We're trying to find those consistencies in some of them politically, not to go tit for tat. There are consistencies and contradictions within organizations. You know, the Black Panther Party, Street Tribes, the Church, the Mosque, all of that. And we want to heighten those contradictions objectively. And you can find those contradictions by saying, okay, wait a minute. How does the state historically deal? Okay, for example, you heard about the thing with Whoopi Goldberg? You heard about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. She got, by ABC,
I thought it was,
I heard about that with her with ABC, yeah.
I thought it was a meme. I thought it was like a misprint or something, or what they call it, a fake news. Why did I think that when I first seen that? Why would I think that?
No. I can't answer that.
Whoopi Goldberg, let me be politically palatable. Let me be there's a a non-threatening, a non-dangerous Whoopi Goldberg in regards to the industry, correct?
Yeah.
So certain people, you say, oh, you know what I'm saying? You can't even imagine that them, you know what I'm saying, being fired. Or this, you know, like, on the plantation, right, doing chattel slavery. There was certain ones you couldn't imagine a master call to be whipped. You couldn't even think of it. You'd be like, what? Correct. But you have to be master with any, you know what I'm saying? Master with man. The white capitalists going to get on his, they're not John Lennon Kennedy here at all. So, but I'm saying there's certain dynamics. So I'm saying with that, bring a little something, do a little, so we can come in and pick our own, you know what I'm saying? We owe it to the people. I owe it to the people. I'm a servant of the people. So like I just said, this case was calling for the assistance with these brothers' burials. I'm giving them some background. I'm putting depth in political context. Because you're dealing with a people that also, as my man, one of my brothers, one of my comrades is posting right now, his cousin died just now. I got a phone call while doing the show. You know, his other brother passed. I got two people that grandmother just passed. I want to come in with an arrogance. You know what I'm saying? I want to put out a call and say, this is the commonality.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can preface our question and discussion with a little objectivity, say, hey, man, blah, blah, like, I mean, you got my ear, brother. You got your, like, just even know that you're on this, not chair, so on and so forth. I respect and I appreciate that. But that's, so people, a lot of times people hear things subjective, like the thing with me, the thing with Jay-Z. Oh, man, this is a beef. When I said, no, we was called on the question of the contradiction, hiding the contradiction about how he referenced, you know, said Chairman Fred. And with him, I guess, you know, he corrected. He addressed it on. Said it's fascinating. So with this question of contradiction, I don't know if it's a cliff, no question. You came into the relate. Big, listen how people hear certain things.
Yeah.
It's not a question of, like, people ask me, what you think about this person? I'm real big on objectivity. You never heard me say the police killed my father. Never heard me say that.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard me say the United States government assassinated Chairman Fred.
Nah.
Because we putting out a case for you that's bigger than him being my father. This sister mm-hmm. asked Mother Comrade one time, she say, how do you feel coming over your husband? Yo, man, you know what her response was, the Corey Chair's response was?
What was it?
I covered down over the deputy chairman of the Black Panther Party. That heightens the contradiction. It's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about a personal objective. So I want to preface with that before, you know what I'm saying? We want to make sure, man, cure this product, cure this meat up for you, man. For you to this cure, heighten it. And you tell, like, you go, so you say, hold on, you got my best dress on. I'm gonna go put this. I'm gonna. This ain't no Jerry Springer show here. Let me put this in political context.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about a conversation that was talking about COINTELPRO. This ain't who hating on somebody, who don't like you, who a Virgo. We talking about, man, we talking about life and death here. We talking about organization that heightened the contradiction to the government tried their best to dismiss, to have vice lords get out on Chairman Fred. They tried to get the Stones to do it. He heightened the contradictions where they had to bring he brought the pus out of the sword.
Mm.
It was clear it was an assassination. They had to come in a uniform. You know what I'm saying? That was important. We fighting to heighten the contradiction because most of when we hear things, man, this is a rap war going on. This guy got beef with something. This is how I can't talk about Alpo. It's not even a feeling about what he was saying about no motherfucking the government. Look at Nipsey Hussle's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, he said it's not the government had him do it. Out his mouth, he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Out his own mouth, telling you. They have been, the government told them what they've been doing their whole life, but they, on their own, I guess the government took the night off and didn't watch them. They wouldn't go get out on park. Come on, man. We are fighting to understand that we are worthy of not only titles and structure, we are worthy. In fact, we are there at the brunt of COINTELPRO. In fact, we fought to get that out. They fought for it not to be brought out. should cannot be diminished. What do you think about this? What's your relationship? We want to heist everything once you put in its political context. So when you when something happens, or anything, whether the person or the people involved, this ain't no local joker shit here. They showing you now. You know what I'm saying? This is man, they can team up in our communities. We are colonized communities. They can tell you anything that's moving in this motherfucker. They tell you on these movies and shit. The hip hop police, the different dynamics. They know the rap men, who says what. All of this, we have to fight to put it in political context. Okay. That way, it comes down to whoever when it's laid out, the facts stand. It's not devalued to how a person feels. What's your relationship? Mm-hmm. We're going to hide the contradictions. If we can draw the line of Minister UEP News, the line of demarcation. Who you with? State of the people. And you got to be willing. Everybody got to be willing to acknowledge that. There have been certain people I've talked to. You listen closely. Some people tell you, yes, I know that's the state. And they're going to work with it, point blank.
Hmm.
And we can't come to them and know, well, I'm going to get this green juice and light this incense and this live lemon, get you on a beanbag. And once you become conscious, we have to. Are the people ready? That's what Jack Nicholson's character said in the movie Few Good Men. What did he say? Can't handle the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you really want to know? You really want to know how this shit go in America? Or do you want to just sit back and you better call me, ask me, listen, man, what happened to them sausage? I was in the sausage packing company. You got people say, hey, hold on, man. Hold on. You messing. I ain't want that. You that shit. I don't want to know about that part. So what we do, if I tell you that, if I say, man, he's saying all that nasty stuff, he bearer of bad news. Geronimo of the Apaches, they tried to say he was responsible for the heat coming down from the colonialists. Geronimo said, no, I'm just heightening up to what's been going down all the time. It's been going on a different, they call it different euphemisms or terms. We want to up the ante. So the trickle-down impact for generations to come, you can say, we can identify, okay, this is the definition of this. You have a community cast, you don't even know the Black Panther Party is. And like even the term snitch. And so it's a conversation that you can't have it in. Because to have to be clear what a snitch is, you have to be clear on what the team is. In other words, you go play basketball, you play a horse. For those who don't know what the horse is, it's no team. It's every person, every man, or woman for themselves. You can't say somebody, you say, hold on, man, you pass the ball, or he steal the ball. It's kind of vague. Why? Ain't no team, correct?
Correct.
When you have a fluid definition of what? Say, okay, what is this? Is this the Lakers? Or is this the Bulls? What are you? It can morph into whatever. You can. Are you a slave? Are you with the master? Or you? Who is your allegiance with? We have to fight for that height. One of America's policies is to create chaos and then restore order. Create chaos and then restore order. You look at these cats now. They tell you, man, about the money. About what this guy worked with that thing. He ain't betrayed nobody because the teams have not been defined. That was a definition of the Black Panther Party. That was a definition of a political prisoner. That was a definition of counterinsurgency. That was a definition of agent provocateur. Let us not tarnish that. Let us come in with the correct tools. Let's come in with the correct conversation to say, man, did this here. I studied this here. This was this. This is the role this person was. This person was there, blah, blah. Dialectical materialism. The people themselves. Yeah. To hide the contradictions.
Mm.
And also be willing to listen on who takes what position.
Mm-hmm.
We hide the contradictions. Some people tell you, okay, you're right. That's right. That's what it is. You got some drivers to tell you. I know this is fucking the community. Yeah, your point is what? Well, yeah, brother. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, King. You know what I'm saying? We can't do this and that. You guys know, man, listen. That check coming in, or this father figure, so be it. All that nonsense, William O'Neill had a change. That
special agent in charge was a father figure to him that tapped into his contradiction. Exploited. Tapped into his birthday, which he, that was, it was the fifth form. He had a psychological profile on. So let's put this in political context and put it forward so the people themselves can see. When you put it in political context, the people, you don't deprive the people. I'm opening up this phone line right now for people to call in of their input, their stories, their testimonies about who Kwabeni was, who Yogi was. You know what I'm saying? So, see, I am a servant of the people. We don't politicize. We work on the people's input. We got the skeleton. I know the Black Panther Party was. However, we want to heighten the contradiction so the people can take them shackles up and say, man, you know what, man? Blah, blah, blah. They'll come with more, you know what I'm saying? And you'll be surprised. Because, see, without the people, I'm dead. I'm dead. They can isolate me. Ooh, the, you know what I'm saying? I'm, man. But when you heighten the contradiction, when I was locked up, you, man. The people saying, "Uhuru, free them all." They couldn't say the disciples was just saying. They couldn't say the stones was just saying. The Latin King was just saying. It was the masses. And we exposed some individuals working with the state. And when their own members just said, "Man, we clear all do." Now, I'm gonna say one more story. I can open. I need the families to call in. Lieutenant, they told me I couldn't say "Uhuru" in Big Muddy River. The guard is saying it. So his brother named Muhammad was explaining to them what it meant. So hold on, man, you don't cop no police with this to them. You don't cop no police. We're back to people start saying it more. The next day, a Machiavellian intelligent lieutenant by the name of Lieutenant Gamble brought a leader, quote unquote leader, for one of the street organizations down on the prison yard in a helicopter. Set the meeting up for him. 400 members around them. The lieutenant told him to tell his members they cannot associate with Mr. Hampton nor say Uhuru. Big Muddy River. 1994. One of the brothers caught it with a blind loyalty, was so twisted. It was like two people in his body fighting. And as he was rumbling, he was twisted. They said, what's wrong with us? He's struggling. He's dealing with blind loyalty to this. But he couldn't assess it. One of my forces, more reactionary, he wanted a quick chase. He thought, he said, man, let's order that Big Mac. Let's get out of this nigga. I said, be cool, man. This bankruptcy would not be designed to some street ball or some back and forth, some beef. Hiding the motherfucking contradictions. What campaign is we on right now? Roll call, giving all the campaigns. I said put the pressure down on Unit 3 right now. What's that campaign with Lamont Bridges? Well, the police didn't come get no medical attention to him, and he was murdered in his cell. We had listened to holler behind that door. Move on that campaign. What? I had a structure there. You know the question. This can't happen to the GDs. He happened to be a force that the people related to, too, that all the cats respected. He flooded the call in. His parents got the call in. Flooded the campaign. Then everybody questioned this dude who I told you they brought in the helicopter. All the street, they said, man, wait a minute, the chairman, the Cubs have took on campaigns for the vice lords, the Marsh Americans, the disciples, the Muslims, the Hebrews. Who is this cat that's trying to go against this here? Fast forward. I'm back in isolation a little time later. They got this dude where the state couldn't even use no more. The state who had more access to more resources, they had him in state for this dude insane. He was telling me, Lieutenant Flagg, man, I can't go to Joliet, man. You know, I worked with y'all before, man. I told him, the Lieutenant Flagg said, listen here, man. We got another guy coming. He got more position than you, man. And you're going to be the next thing smoking up out of here, man. I hollered from the back. I said, ain't that something, man? How they get out and use a motherfucker up? And he said, yeah, man. Who is that? I said, Chairman Fred, man. I'm the chairman back here. I'm back here in my boxer drawers. They got my property, my pants and stuff. I'm still the chairman. I heard they took your jewelry. Yeah. I heard they took your position from you. He said, man. I said, see, state make you, state can break you. See, once you heighten the contradictions, One thing about this system, they're like, man, they're doing. You see they did to Derek Chauvin? Did you see in that court case on George Floyd?
Yeah.
Did you see the captain of the police get up on the stand? And I don't understand why this man would do this to this. Why? Where you get this from? Why would Derek? Why would he stand on this man? Oh, that is against what we stand for. Now, this is a big aberration. Why the other police stand there and say, man, hold on, man. That's some fucked up shit you doing. Oh, hold on. What are you doing? Heightened contradictions. Objectively, politically. Right on?
Right on.
I ain't saying this is your question. I'm saying, man, politicize.
Yeah.
We owe it
to the people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just wanted, you know, since you from, you know, from Chicago, you know more about it than what I would know in New Orleans.
I'm from Africa. I'm from Africa via Chicago. I'm always okay. I'm an international servant. And my summations have to do service that transcends geographical, generational, and gender lines.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at Minister UEP Newton address contradictions when people are trying to push him to say certain words.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the media to debate him and saying the word split. He never did say that word. Look at the discipline Mr. UEP expressed on the TV show in direct challenge when people try to force him to say certain things. Look at the discipline, how he dealt with contradiction. Look at the interview he did at the building.
That was on Martin Luther King Day 1988. He was on a show in San Francisco. I seen that on YouTube.
Oh no! You talking about the one? Juwan Kuntu from the rest of the panel with him?
Yeah. One of his last interviews.
You talking about the one
public appearance?
That's when the IRS just took two of his houses, both his houses from him. Now, that interview too, that was too. I'm talking about the piece with you familiar with George Sams?
Yeah, I'm familiar with George Sams. Yeah, I read about him in
the FBI's. Yeah. The FBI's what?
No, I say I read about him in the FBI's war on Tupac Shakur and black leaders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
George Sam, he was depicted a bit in the movie Judas and the Black Messiah also. You remember the guy came with the leather jacket and was on the stairs?
Yeah, I seen that.
Remember the part with the FBI to say, man, this guy's running from state to state? You remember that part?
Yeah, I remember that part.
And they used him to justify. I can't get too much, but scenario. Go look at the interview. It's a piece where they sent it to Penthouse. Minister UEP knew, I think Chief of Staff David here. They sent it down and it's a part where they asked Minister UEP knew about the Vietnamese. They say the Viet Cong. The reporter says, what is your relation to the Viet Cong? And he would not answer the question. And he said the Vietnamese, he said, we don't reference, he said, they refer to themselves as that.
Mm-hmm.
See, the preface, the conversation, you follow what I'm saying? Refer to the preface of who we talk to, because George, go look at this piece. He broke down how the mental illness of George Sanders, how the government utilized it, or it's phenomenal. How he gave a whole political education about the mental, it's happening right now in our communities. How the government get people with mental, they got so many people with mental illness, you know, going to stand against people. You know what I'm saying? It'll be easy to say, oh, man, dude, a snitch. But the government knows they mention, we have to heighten the contradictions, little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Our community deserves more than the way a bad thank you, ma'am. Counterinsurgency they're doing on us. Some people just say, oh, man, such, it's in a relationship. You, I know you go to somebody and say, oh, hold on, man, hold on. Don't approach her with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Man,
You know, then, listen, man, they took my time about to wear out in a minute. I really needed these fellas to call in. I'm going to call a special show tomorrow, y'all, again. Kwabini's family, let me know what time we can call so we can put the word out. I need to put an official call out for assistance with these funds, for these services. Let me know, hit me up on Facebook, whatever, Toshiba, Sneaker, Glow, Bianca. I need, man. But I appreciate your call. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate your energy.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? And again, so please call back. So we can preface it for the people. It's not like I say, so you come here to, so you want to preface it politically. Some people come in here, man, what's this? Are you tripping? You hate yourself? Older gen? Are you from Chicago? No. Are you champion for Fred? No, I mean, I'm not playing a major role who I am, believe me. However, I'm the chairman, not just because I can talk like I'm held accountable.
That's it.
I need everybody to call. I'm going to call these fellas. Y'all be on point tomorrow. We're going to do a special show tomorrow. So we're going to call. See what people can send. The agencies, we'll let know what the people, what they send it to, how to move, whatever the case may be, about the system with this, you know, these burials of both these brothers, and condolences. Cub and community condolences. Family of Yogi, family of Kwabini, St. Croix, your cousin.
Yeah.
All of that we don't even know. The funeral service in L.A. Shit. She just put up there with it. I seen the picture. And the people's paying the place, his brother, in Compton or L.A. Can you listen to me? Let me know where it's going to be at. What's his brother's name, man? Some of y'all in the tapped in. I can't even find. Man, beautiful. Oh, man, y'all been coming for time. Damn. But, man, y'all been in. It's a funeral service in Elliott Compton. Verne Moore, look at her Facebook page. St. Croix, look at this Facebook page. So we can ask her condolences. And Tony McGee, Toshiba Bay, Tasha Bay, look on their page. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do this show tomorrow. You have to get assist on that. Condolences, y'all. I got your text. Okay, Dan. Condolences, y'all. Quan, and I know this quarantine. We some people don't even know about y'all. Condolences, y'all. It's in between me and niggas. We don't have politics, y'all. Hate these contradictions. Just politicize them. No. Thank you again. Call in next Wednesday, man. Tighten up, please. Let the people get in the background. Sister from the D, Hunter. I got the mail. Thank you. They got to come here, sis. I'm going to do a special show. I'm going to do a special episode tomorrow. What happened to Whoopi? I'm going to talk about all that. They spin up from the View. I'm going more into details about that tomorrow. They got to close down the show. So, we'll see you tomorrow, y'all. Revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation, y'all. It's honor to serve. We're going to look for tomorrow. We're going to post what time we're doing a special show, y'all. Special program. You snowed in. You should tune in. Tune in. 929-477-1785. Cash App, $, stay the Hampton House. Call. Bring him on.
You could come with us to see the Wiz. He's going to get me back home.
Whoa.
And he's going to get the Scarecrow some brains. Maybe he can get you a heart.
But that's the whole.
Blood in my mouth. Now with all due respect, let me get this here from my chest.
long time coming. Then some say that I'm just wasting my valuable time. Responding to no one and nothing. For even your goofball groupies was able to see your feeble ass attempts at seeking your fame at the expense of slandering our name. Day after day while you engage.